So I grew up in the Midwest, born to a Midwest, born to a blue collar family, and man, I stuck out. I did not fit in. It was like I was adopted or something. I just didn't. I felt so misunderstood and didn't really know my place until I was 10 years old, and I fell in love with stand-up comedy. I used to sneak my dad's VHS copies. He had like recorded the Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian special in the late 80s. And I wasn't supposed to watch this stuff, but I watched it like 1,000 times. And I memorized like every single set on that show. I had like Bob Saget and Louis Anderson and Rita Rudner set down. I was 10 years old doing Sam Kennison's This Is Sand bit on an elementary school playground to a bunch of friends who were like, "I don't think you can say that." You know? But I was in love. And I knew that that would like be my future to some extent, but that time and that place, Rock Island, Illinois, 1980s, it just was such a far-fetched concept that it didn't seem realistic. Like I remember visiting with like my high school guidance counselor and going over all of the possible options that I might be able to do after I get out of high school. And I always found it interesting that stand-up comedian was never on the Scantron. It was like not a realistic consideration. But it was still a dream of mine. And high school ended. I wasn't going to go to college. And I didn't want to join the trades right away. And so I joined the Marine Corps. Plot twist. And that's a story for another time. But while I was in the Marines, I got stationed here in the DC Baltimore area. And I could not help myself. I started to pursue my dream of doing stand-up comedy. And I started getting up everywhere. I do want to say, if you're going to follow your dreams, you got to get real good at believing in yourself, because for what seems like forever, you're the only one doing that. And you know, like as an artist, we have to carry our dream with us throughout our whole lives. Like it's this little burden, this like little flame that you have to carry with you, and you have to remember why you have to keep it lit, and you have to, the world's trying to rain on it, and nobody believes in it, and you have to keep it going until one day, for whatever reason, someone else comes along and they see it how you see it, and they believe how you believe, and it catches fire. But for like a really long time, it feels like that's not gonna happen. But that moment happened for me right here in Baltimore. Yeah, thank you. Baltimore was the first city that ever believed in me. There was this club down in the Power Plant Live area near the Ram's Head. It used to be called the Baltimore Improv. The Improv is like a national comedy chain. And in 2004, they were holding auditions for local comics to like open up for their national acts. And I wasn't going to miss it. I brought my 4-year-old daughter at the time because I couldn't find daycare. I brought her to the audition with me. I did the audition, and I figured it would be like most other things in stand-up when you're first starting, where just nothing would come of it. But about a week later, I got the most important call I had gotten in my career up to that point. I answered the phone, and a woman's voice said, "Hi, this is Taryn from the Baltimore Improv. We really liked your audition, and we were wondering if you were available for some upcoming weekends." And I just couldn't believe, this was like, up until now, I had to ask to get on every show. This was an actual club calling me, and they want to pay me to work. Like, they see my flame, and they agree. They believe too. It was so validating. And I was like, "Yeah, what, you know, what do you have?" And she's like, "Well, we got March 15th, 16th, 17th with Christopher Titus. We got April 20th." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." Like Christopher Titus from the TV show Titus from the 90s that I watched every night that it was on, and he tells stories about his dysfunctional family. Just like, okay. And of course, that's who she meant. It just was, this was my foray into that world, where now I'm just going to be, I guess, working with people that I grew up idolizing. And I'll never forget that first weekend at the Improv. Like, normally when you work a weekend with a comedian, you'll do like maybe 5, 6 shows together, and you'll watch like one of their sets, because we will repeat jokes and stories, and you want to like the person by the end of the weekend. And but man, I watched every single set of Christopher Titus's, because it was a master class in storytelling. Like one set of his, I sat to the side of the stage and I watched the crowd watch him. And even when he wasn't saying something particularly funny, everybody was like leaning forward, just waiting for the next thing he was going to say. And I was like, that's what I want. I want to distill that. It was like the best first weekend I could have ever had. And I became a regular at that club. And they introduced me to the 98 Rock morning show, and I became a regular there. And my little flame caught fire because they believed. And I remember sitting in the back of that club the first weekend I worked there, and I'm watching one of Titus's sets. And I had this, like, moment of realization where I just was thinking to myself, like, dude, you did this. You did this when everybody thought this was the most impractical thing you could do and you shouldn't do it. And if you didn't defy all that, you wouldn't even be here. And I used to take really personally people not believing. You know, when you believe in something really wholeheartedly and you have your little flame, you can take it personally. But that weekend, I really realized it's not personal. It's that to believe in something that you thought up and to believe in it long enough to make it an actual thing and to believe in it hard enough to bring it to life, that's like an extreme form of belief. And most people don't do that. And so it's not that they don't believe in you. It's that they don't know how to believe in anything the way you do. And I realized that weekend, and I think it's kind of cool that those of us who start off feeling the most misunderstood, we tend to be the people who grow up and, like, teach the world how to understand. And those of us who really, really believe in something, we're the ones who teach everybody else how to believe. And so all of you little flame carriers out in the crowd tonight, don't give up. Keep that flame protected, because someday someone's going to see it how you see it, and they're going to believe in it like you believe in it, and it's going to catch fire. Thanks.